Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. Supreme Court of the State of South Dakota, the Honorable David Gilbertson presiding, is now open for the transaction of any business that may legally come before.
Good morning. The record may show that this is the time and the place set for our annual February rules hearing. Record further may show that due and legal notice of the proposals were given to the public at to the State Bar, South Dakota, and the other methods that we incorporate. The way we will do this is go numerically down the proposals. I will ask if there's any opponents first, and if there are none, then I would assume that the proponents have submitted anything they want to say. Of course, if they want to add anything, feel free. But the court has read all the proposal studies on them, so that seems to be the most efficient way to get through this number of proposed rules. So has anybody got any questions before we start? If not, rule number one, opponents, proponents. Rule number two, opponents, proponents. Rule number three, opponents, proponents. Rule number four, opponents, proponents. Rule number five, opponents, proponents. Rule number six, opponents, proponents. Rule number seven, opponents, proponents. Rule number eight, opponents, proponents. Rule number nine, opponents, proponents. Rule number 10, opponents, proponents.
Mr. Chief Justice?
Yes, Mr. Tellinghues.
Thank you. Roger Tellinghues on behalf of the South Dakota Trial Lawyers. I don't really have an objection to proposed rule number 10. I really just have a question that I believe was submitted in the written submission that the South Dakota Trial Lawyers submitted to the court. Just inquiring as to the reason for deleting shareholders from this proposed or from the existing rule, the reference to shareholders and corporations, and just leaving the rule applicable only to unincorporated associations.
Well, Mr. Killing, we got a letter on this from Mr. John Rayforth. Maybe it'd be just simpler for you to look at the letter real quick.
Thank you.
Rather than me read it to you.
Thank you.
I thought he could explain it better than I could. Okay. Do you have opposition then?
No.
Okay. All right. Any other comments on proposed rule number 10? Okay. Proposed rule number 11, opponents, proponents. Rule number 12, opponents, proponents. Rule number 13, opponents, proponents. Rule number 14, opponents, proponents. Rule number 15, opponents, proponents. Rule number 16, opponents, proponents. Rule number 17, opponents, proponents. Rule number 18, opponents, proponents. Rule number 19, opponents, proponents. Rule number 20, opponents, proponents. Rule number 21, opponents. Mr. Tellinghues.
I'm sorry. With respect to rule number 20, the only recommendation that the South Dakota Trial Lawyers would make with respect to subsection 1 of that rule, which of course is existing law, is the addition of the phrase in the, if I could just count down from the beginning of the subsection, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines where it begins the officer conducting the deposition, the examination to cease forthwith from the taking the deposition, adding at that point, comma, or may limit the scope and manner of the taking of the deposition. The addition of this language would make this subsection then consistent with the current federal rule, which this rule tracks up to that point. The only other comment that I would make, Mr. Chief Justice, with respect to this rule is in subsection 3, I wasn't sure if this was an intentional change or whether it was just a typographical error, but in the second line where it says a deposition is limited to one day or 7 hours, the current federal rule says one day of 7 hours. And I didn't know if the word or should have been of or whether that was an intentional change. Lastly, with respect to that particular subsection, the reference to section 15-6-26B2 seems unusual at best. That references a section in our code that deals with insurance agreements, and that seems out of place in the context of this particular subsection. I just wanted to bring that to the court's attention.
Okay. Now, as long as you're up there, and Mr. Barnett, you might want to chime in, we have two proposed rules, 20 and 21, that would Rule 20 proposal is the state bar proposal, right, Mr. Barnett?
I believe so, Your Honor.
All right, and 21 is the trial lawyers. By proposing these amendments to 20, what's the status of 21 on behalf of the trial lawyers?
State Bar.
Well, he's representing the trial lawyers.
Okay.
Right. I think, if I recall, if I could just grab my letter here. I have a copy of the letter that was sent in by Mr. Marlowe. It was my understanding that the the trial lawyers' concern was with rule number 20, and that it tracked verbatim the federal rule, so that we could rely upon the body of law that has been developed under the federal rule. And I think the proposed rule does track the federal rule very closely, but for the one comment I made with respect to subsection 1 and then the questions I've raised regarding subsection 3.
All right. Okay. So that's your comments on 20 and 21?
Yes.
Mr. Barnett, do you have any comments?
Morning, Mr. Chief Justice. Justices, Tom Barnett representing the State Bar. My folks are aware of the suggestion of the trial lawyers, and they've given me no direction that we should oppose their suggestion. And it does make sense, frankly, that we track verbatim the federal rule.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barnett. Okay. Proposal number 22, opponents, proponents. 23, opponents, proponents. Number 24, opponents, proponents. 25, opponents, proponents. 26, opponents, proponents. 27, opponents, proponents. 28, opponents, proponents. 29, opponents, proponents. 30, opponents, proponents. 31, opponents, proponents. 32, opponents, proponents. 33, opponents, proponents. 34, opponents, proponents. 35, opponents, proponents. 36, opponents, proponents. 37, opponents, proponents. 38, opponents, proponents. 39, opponents, proponents. 40, opponents, proponents. 41, opponents, proponents. 42, opponents, proponents. 43, opponents, proponents. 44, opponents, proponents. 45, opponents, proponents. 46, opponents, proponents. 47, opponents, proponents. 48, opponents, proponents. 49, opponents, proponents. 50, opponents, proponents. 51, opponents, proponents. 52, opponents, proponents. 53, opponents, proponents. 54, opponents, proponents. 55, opponents, proponents. 56, opponents, proponents. 57, opponents, proponents. 58, opponents, proponents. 59, opponents, proponents. 60, opponents, proponents. 61, opponents, proponents. 62, opponents, proponents. 63, opponents, proponents. 64, opponents, proponents. 65, opponents, proponents. 66, opponents, proponents.
With respect to 66, the South Dakota trial lawyers would recommend the deletion of the word definitive in the first line of the underscored portion. And I believe we've set out in our written submission to the court as to the basis for that suggestion.
You know, when I read that, Mr. Tillinghuse, I looked at that and I thought perhaps the Practice Rules Committee was thinking about a motion in limine, you know, and that's maybe the reason why they wanted that word in there, because, as we all know, that doesn't preserve the objection.
Right.
And we wouldn't want it to, and maybe that's the reason why that's in there. I don't know if Mr. Barnett will be able to tell us or not.
Mr. Chief Justice, Justice Sinner, my understanding is the concern was to craft language that would avoid the situation where a lawyer has to repeatedly make objection after objection after objection to a whole series of questions, with the potential adverse impact on the jury that doesn't understand the technical reasons for the repetitive objections. That's the situation that it was trying to address, as I understand it.
But I just wonder if we don't need to leave the word in, because, like a motion in limine, if there's a ruling on evidence early on, I mean, that the judge could change his mind or her mind at the trial. And our case law says that that does not preserve an objection, a ruling on a motion in limine. So I kind of wonder if we don't need to leave it in, as it's been proposed.
Justice Sinner, I apologize. I was not privy to the crafting of the submission to the court, so I don't have a great deal of background to offer behind the comment that was made. I certainly understand your concern, and it seems to be very legitimate. So I can't offer any more than what the submission itself offered.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tillinghuse, and thank you, Mr. Barnett.
Could we accept our motions in limine?
That we have run through all 66 proposals. Before we adjourn, does anybody have any final comments? If not, thank you.
I do. I have one other question. I'd like to go back to number 13, if we could.
Okay.
My question, I guess, is really for both of you on 13, on supplementation of responses. The trial lawyers, I think, has brought up a good point that that unlike the federal rules, we do not have an automatic requirement of disclosure of expert witness reports. And so does this make sense? The way it's being proposed, Mr. Tillinghuse.
Chief Justice, Justice Inner, thank you for bringing that up. I was a little slow on the draw when we were going through the rules. In the submission from the trial lawyers, we have recommended that the phrase "from whom a report is required" which is about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the eighth line down, be taken out so that the supplementation requirement would apply to expert reports, regardless of whether a report is actually prepared by the expert or not, or whether it is required to be prepared. We believe that the deletion of that phrase would make this rule then more consistent with what we're trying to achieve, as a corollary to the federal rule.
It doesn't make sense to have it in here, because it does track the federal rule, which if you go to the federal rule, you'll see the report has to be disclosed the way I read it. Now, what would happen in South Dakota where you don't have to disclose your reports? Would your suggestion, if we strike that language, would that mean that, say, you're holding an expert report that you've never disclosed, and you don't have to, but yet you'd have to supplement?
I believe it's my understanding that if the rule is adopted without this phrase contained within it, anytime, for instance, I respond to interrogatories and disclose who my expert is and the substance of what their testimony will be about, if any of that changes, I would have a duty to supplement that response, even though I have not provided a report or the expert hasn't actually prepared a report. Sometimes trial lawyers will ask an expert not to prepare a report simply to avoid having to furnish the report, but we still obviously are required to respond appropriately to interrogatories wherein we're directed to give the substance of the expert's testimony or the subject matter that they're going to testify about. This would require supplementation of that response if appropriate.
I'm just worried about the unintended consequences. If we just take out the language, you know, from whom a report is required, what does that mean? What would the rule then require for a report that hasn't been disclosed?
I think our concern was just the opposite, was that it was too limiting with this phrase in it, that it would only require supplementation in the event that a report has been provided.
Right.
And we were concerned that was too limiting in terms of its scope of coverage.
And I'm concerned about the unintended consequence.
Sure.
If could this be argued then, if we amended it like you asked, could someone argue that there was a duty to disclose or to supplement, even though the report had never been disclosed under South Dakota practice? Well, we can talk about that ourselves too.
I'm sorry, I don't have a good response for you at this point.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Tellinghuesen. Once again, before we close, are there any other further questions, comments from the bench or from those in attendance? There being none, the court will then go into recess and conference on these rules, and will obviously publish its ultimate conclusions on the proposals. Thank you all for coming today. We're in recess.